You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Clap your hands and stomp your feet. You're listening to the Clap Your Hands Podcast, hosted by Elliot Shure-Parks and Jack Fritz.
Welcome on, it's another edition of the Clap Your Hands Podcast, presented by Coors Light, the always wonderful Coors Light. Elliot Shure-Parks and Jack Fritz hanging out on this, the controversy of the century last in Clippers Sixers. What a night, Elliot. How you doing, pal?
The league was drunk last night.
Oh, basketball. Like
yeah, shots were had.
The NBA is drunk right now.
Yeah, exactly. So I have a bunch of takes off the game.
Yes. What's your big reaction to last night?
Dude, this is a big old guy on the lawn thing. I'm over the replays and the challenges.
Dude, it was the longest 2 minutes of my life.
It was a bad product. Like, every play was getting challenged. Everything, it was like, and here's, look, I'm happy the Sixers got the ball. Or, no, they didn't. Like, that ball was off Paul George. Like, I don't care that it technically touched Kelly Oubre's finger, like, as it grazed out of bounds. That was off of Paul George. He caused that ball to go out. And then, look, all the other challenges, it was just a bad product to watch at the end. But that aside, dude, Kelly Oubre, man. Like, all right, so I'm disappointed in him, obviously. He gets, first of all, the final two possessions of the game are a drive by Kelly Oubre.
Maxi, by the way, almost at the other.
Yeah, Maxi's like just watching from the other foul line, just which he does a lot in the fourth quarter. Quarter Maxi, by the way.
It's actually a Nick Nurse problem.
Well, that's where I was going.
Yeah, you're making him a decoy?
Yeah, like, bro, Nick, you're supposed to be the reason they win games. Like, we talked when they hired him, or like, you know, when we started this pod, that there's like five or six coaches in the league that matter. He's supposed to be one of those coaches. Mm-hmm. Last night, in a big game, right? Like, every game is big at this point because they're trying the best they can to stay out of the play-in. How you have Kelly Oubre have the ball in the final two possessions? And I get the final, like, the tip, it is what it is. But it was way too much Kelly Oubre at the end. And so that's on Nick Nurse to make sure that they don't, that Maxi doesn't have the ball. Also, it's on Maxi. Like, Maxi, go get the ball, man. It's like at the game six of the Celtics series last year when we all ripped Embiid for, like, you know, Embiid didn't get in the final 5 minutes. It's like, well, go get it. Like, Maxi, man, like, you're an all-star. You're going to be a max player. Go get the ball at the end. So he had 10 points in the fourth quarter, which is more than I expected watching the game.
Again, didn't feel like it.
Empty stats. But it was just disappointing. Like, Oubre, the final shot, you have to get a shot up there. And, like, was he fouled? Maybe. I don't think it was, like, egregious. Did Kawhi foul Oubre? Maybe. I didn't think that was, like, an egregious miss either. Kawhi made some ridiculous layups, by the way. He's very, very good when he's healthy.
He's Michael Jordan. Like, he's what people think Michael Jordan.
Okay,
watch those two play basketball. If you put Oubre in the 90s, he plays exactly like Michael Jordan.
Oubre in the 90s?
No, my bad. Oubre.
Yeah,
not Oubre.
Yeah.
Oubre, not tough enough for the 90s.
Yeah, he would not handle it.
Yeah, or the 80s.
Yeah.
Whatever. Oubre, like, could not exude more loser vibes. And the only reason why he was so upset at the end of the game is not because of whatever. Like, he made the mistake of fouling Kawhi.
Yeah, which was a ridiculous foul, by the way.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
He finds more ways to lose basketball games. And the worst part about this team, and this has to be, we talked about this, this has to be what basketball purgatory feels like.
Dude, it's
having Kelly Oubre be your the final shot guy or the final two possessions guy is a nightmare scenario.
Yeah.
Like, he and he's trying, and I appreciate that. He's just not a winning basketball player. It's as simple
as
that.
Well, to your point about purgatory, so last night they're up big, like, they're playing well, but you could just tell in the final 3 minutes, like, they were losing that game. Like, and weird things had to happen. Like, Maxi falls, which, you know, people like Maxi, so no one's going to rip him for it. But, like, bro, you just straight up fell, like in a huge point of the game that was a turnover. Like, they just had weird things happen where it was like you can tell they're going to lose the game. But that was just the helplessness feeling of they just don't have anybody to pull them out of these funks. And that's another thing I want to get into with Nick Nurse. Like, where is Kyle Lowry?
Well,
that game needed Kyle Lowry. They needed someone to calm it down. That's Oubre too. Oubre's like, he was way out of control. Like, they need someone just to slow it down, like dribble it up the court, like get him in their set, and they just had no one to do it.
Well, he trusted too much in what Hield was doing. Like,
Hield did play.
I get it. He did. But like in the final minutes of the game, you have to have Kyle Lowry.
I agree.
On the court.
But take Toby out.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
You should take Toby.
But like the Buddy Hield shot, for what it's worth, which was a big one, credit to him, but like that's a lucky shot. He shoots it like 5 feet beyond the arc.
I know.
It goes in, which props to him. But they lost that game because Kyle Lowry wasn't in, because Oubre blew it, because Maxey once again shrunk in the final minutes. Nick Nurse didn't make any great changes. Like, it's the same story again and again.
Yeah. So on Oubre, I can't take right now from the fan base.
This is where you realize how online me and Jack are.
Like, I just, when he's doing the whole, you're a B.
Thank you for not cursing.
That's just, it's clown behavior.
I agree.
It's total clown behavior.
I think they'll suspend him.
I think they'll fine him. Like, you know, it's just, I think that was a reaction to really him screwing up earlier rather than whatever happened at the end. Like, and that's just, like, that's not a good representation of the Sixers. Like, do you want that? It's like, it's always been talked about, like, online all last night. It's like, ooh, you're, and the people are like, oh yeah, get him.
Right.
Like, really?
I agree.
That's what you want?
I agree.
I
was thinking about,
couldn't be more disconnected from that.
I was thinking about that with Nick Nurse last night too, because I remember it was 2 years ago, they played the Raptors in the playoffs. And the big joke on Sixers Twitter through that thing was like, oh, look at Nick Nurse complaining about the officials again. And here he is trying to work the officials through the press conference. Then you watch him last night. He's like running up and down. He's trying to challenge something he can't challenge. He needs to be held back from the officials afterwards. And I'm sure that they have a feeling in that locker room. And frankly, in the whole like franchise right now, of just extreme disappointment. Like, this season looked so good at a certain point. They were like 28-9 or whatever it was with Embiid. They got off.
He was 28-6.
Yeah, like something absurd like that. Maxey was an all-star. Everything was trending their way, and it's all completely cratered. And I am sure that that's part of the frustration that you see. But much like when we talk about with Nick Sirianni, like, bro, you're the head coach. Like Oubre does what he does because he sees what you're doing. Like, you're the one that's going after the officials. You're the one that's having to held back. Like, that's what I think stood out both on the court and then off it at the end. They had no control. They had no, like, there was, and to get to Lowry, there was no veteran there to, like, be like, bro, everyone, like, calm down. And it just, they blew it.
They did. The Lowry stuff, I just.
Sorry, one more thing on Oubre.
Okay.
I know you think he'll get fined, and I'm sure he will. But it would, like, if I was the NBA, I might suspend him. Like,
sure.
There's now a clip going around, and I probably sound so, like, old.
Oh, you couldn't. I mean, I know you're barreling towards 40.
Exactly.
But
like, there's now a clip of your player going around telling every official, like, you're a B, you're a B, you're a B, your mom's a B.
Your grandma.
Yeah, it's like,
what do you got to bring grandma?
When the family members come down.
Exactly.
Well, it's also like, also, who talks like that? Like, seriously. Like, what are you, five?
Yeah.
Like, it's annoying.
Especially when he's the one that blew the game.
Of course he blew the game. Why are you relying on Kelly Oubre?
Look at you slamming the table.
What just makes you so mad? It's like, one in a million. Well, not one in a million. One out of 10 times he'll help you late in the game. But like
and he was good in the other Clippers one.
To have Lowry on the bench,
yeah.
When Lowry is a guy you need on the court late in games,
by the way, like Nick Nurse wanted
to calm everything down. Like, it's just it's not conducive to winning basketball. And maybe they are afraid to bench Toby.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think it was Tom Kelly.
Toby was wide open on one of the shots. Yep. I just didn't give it to him.
Yeah, Tom Kelly tweeted, I think it's true that like, this whole collapse last night kind of started when Toby had the ball and Nick Nurse called a timeout because he didn't trust him to do anything with it. He's like, all right, gotta get the ball out of Toby.
And why is he in?
I agree with you.
Like, why is Toby in?
This is the point I've been making. They're going to play Toby.
I know they are.
They're like in the playoffs, or if they, you know, they are the play-in or whatever, which, by the way, I consider the play-in the playoffs.
Well, it's hard when you're the 10. Like, I just can't take the 10s.
So. Okay, I agree with that.
Like 10-9.
That team's in the playoffs.
I know, it's
But it is the play. Like, you're playing more than 82 games. Like, you are.
Maybe they should shrink it to 6 teams make the playoffs. I know they'll never do it. I just like.
Well, it'd be bad news for the Sixers.
Well, this year, yeah. Not in the last couple
years. But even in the last couple years, like, they've had easy first-round playoff wins, which still matter and count.
Yes, right. Just, one of these days, I'm going to break you on that.
If I can
break you on one thing.
I actually think this Sixers team has proven how right I was about the last teams. Like, no one has felt this level of hopelessness and not in despair with these past few teams because they had chances to win. They have no chance now.
Listen, man, when the big fella gets back.
Oh, dude.
When the big fella gets back, they have a chance.
I know, and we did this on the pod already, but I do think the moment that really broke me is when Embiid got hurt. Like, in living through this whole thing, like he maybe he's going to come back, like, handful of games. And, like, the reaction from the Sixers on how they talk about Embiid is infuriating. Could you, like, honestly, could you imagine if, like, even Lane Johnson or someone on, like, how many players on the Eagles would there be a bigger panic about than Embiid? They just get up there, they're like, oh, I think it's maybe close. And it's like, all right, well, that's that. So how about the zone defense? Like, you know, like,
he's on the court.
Yeah.
He's
on the court. Like, not doing what? We don't know how long. They said 6 to 8 weeks. It's going to be over 8 weeks. It's a handful of games. And also,
do you want to know why?
Why?
Because he decides everything.
Yes. Yeah. And so they don't know.
They have no idea.
They probably don't know. But, like, so. It's just so infuriating and disappointing and devastating that when this happened, it was like, well, maybe he'll be back mid-March. Or like, well, 6 weeks, that's not that far away. And like, worst case, it's 8. And now the quote is still from Nick Nurse, like, you know, we're pretty sure he'll play before the playoffs. Like, that's not super encouraging.
No, it's not. I just don't understand why this time it broke you. Like, we've dealt with Embiid injuries for all the time.
Like, yeah, well, it's like, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back.
Is it because you believed again? Is it because?
Yeah, of course I believe again. I believed a ton going into this season.
You know what I still can't get over? Not to like go all the way back to it, but it's just like, I think they had winning basketball players. Like, I know Marcus Morris.
Talking about the beginning of this season.
This year, like Marcus Morris and Pat Bev.
Yeah.
And they just have such losers.
Yeah.
Like such losers.
Yeah.
Right now. And again, not to always bring it back to Morey, but like, what is, I don't think he knows how to evaluate basketball players. I really don't.
It's a problem as a GM.
I am pretty convinced I know more about basketball than Daryl Morey.
Yeah.
Which would be a problem for Daryl. I don't care about your little spreadsheets.
Right. Well, anyone can read a spreadsheet.
Yeah, anyone can do a spreadsheet.
You had access to the information, you could make the decision.
Easily.
Yeah.
I'm talking
iTest vibe guy right
now. iTest vibe guy. Yeah. They had it. They don't have it.
Yeah.
And it's done. I mean, like.
Sucks Pat Bev's hurt.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. He would never gotten hurt here because it's Philadelphia.
Yeah,
and he would have dog mentality. But we'll get to more Embiid stuff. But you, as with the last night of the game, you've been a little hard on Maxi.
I don't think I have been too hard on Maxi.
I thought last night was a very positive Maxi game. So I thought it was a.
But this is. Sorry. Go ahead.
It's a positive Maxi game because it felt like. It actually didn't feel like empty points to me. Like a couple of these games.
Right, but they lost.
They did lose.
They lost
where
the
they
game.
Lost. That's
so like,
Kelly's fault.
Yeah, right. But like, it's whose fault?
Kelly's fault.
Okay. So to me, the analogy of that is it's like when we're talking about the Eagles, it's like Jalen played great. I know they lost, but like he was awesome. Or Jalen played great. Man, the coaches really didn't help him in those situations. Like, no. Like, you can't have a great game in a losing game. Like, not like maybe a handful of times, but certainly not over a long stretch.
Well, when the team's not very good, you can have losing. You can have
but
good
he's
games.
One of the reasons the team is not very good. He's the best player for sure. I agree with that.
How he played last night was more like the last couple of games has been like 25 points in the first half and they'd be down by 12.
I'm not going to get all like, oh, good game, Maxi, when they lost.
Well,
like,
I know, but it, like the efficiency was there. Like it was
not enough.
Of course not enough.
That's what I'm saying, where it's like,
Because they lost by one to a team that they should lose to.
Yeah. Well, yes. Like again, where have expectations been exceeded? Like you were right. Like we can build an argument that he's been what we thought he would be. He's averaging just as many points without Embiid as he is with Embiid. That's disappointing. I would hope he would average more points without Embiid because he's not the second option. They've probably won a few games we didn't think they were going to win, like the Mavs game, the Cavs game.
Clippers on Sunday.
They beat the Knicks. Like, there have been a few of them. But overall, they're probably, I don't know, what, 5 or 6 games under 500 without Embiid? So, like, there's been no exceeded expectation. We can build an argument that he's met expectations, But that's not what being a special player is. That's not where it's like, oh, he was great last night. I'm super encouraged by it. I know they lost and they're actually battling to be the 9 seed. But man, Maxey really was efficient.
Well, but
like,
it matters.
But that's...
It matters.
What matters?
It matters that he played well last night.
But he didn't
that,
play well enough.
But he, I would say he did play well enough. His teammates also stink.
The box score would not. I mean, the final score would not indicate.
His teammates aren't very good.
Agreed.
So, but what Maxey, I thought, did last night was, and I know it's a little thing, but I liked that he yelled at Toby when Toby didn't shoot the basketball. Did you see that?
I missed that. This is why you would be a good GM and I wouldn't be.
Well, it matters. Again, yeah. This is part of the Maxey leadership.
I like that.
So he passed the ball to Toby. Toby has like an open enough shot to where he just
right.
pull it. And he just does a stupid freaking Toby thing.
Yep.
And dribbles to the left.
Yeah.
And like passes it off for no reason. Yeah. And Maxey was like, shoot the ball.
Yeah, I like
you
that.
You know, that little stuff like that does matter.
I agree with that.
Doesn't matter.
That's a positive. I agree with that.
Late in the game, not great.
Yeah.
Couldn't get the ball, not great.
The Heat game, it's like a tie game, like with a, like I think midway through the fourth. He had one point in the fourth quarter.
So I think we have to rebrand this podcast. I'm thinking of a rebrand on the fly.
Okay.
How about this? The real Sixers pod. The realist Sixers pod.
We changing the name?
Well, no, it's no, okay. Clap Your Hands. It's Clap Your Hands.
Maybe like semicolon or whatever those are called.
Realism.
Realism.
Realisms about the basketball team.
From real basketball
from
guys.
Hoopheads.
yeah, from Hoopheads.
From Hoopheads.
We're basically LeBron and JJ.
Yeah.
When sorry, James. We know it's not.
I know, yeah, I know. Are we leaving it loud at all?
When you talk about a basketball savant, JJ, you do have to clarify, not me.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, right.
Correct.
Right.
But, like, how many, like, again, Maxey's a good player. He's a good player.
Yeah.
It's just the way some people talk about him. He's not a superstar.
Here's a good example.
He's a good basketball player.
Andrew Uttenberger from Writes Ricky Sanchez. Love him. Does a great job. Enjoy following him on Twitter. He writes an article and it's like, I know Maxey hasn't been what he thought he was going to be, but he's still really good. Like, why do we do that with him, but you don't do that with, like, no one else? We wouldn't do that about Jalen. We wouldn't do it about Embiid. We wouldn't do it about Bryce. We wouldn't do it about, like, even AJ, right? Like, there's always this push to just, like, rationalize why Maxey hasn't been what we thought he was going to be. It's okay to just sit here and say, after the stretch, without Embiid, he was not what we thought he was going to be.
Well, and that I do wonder...
Or hoped he was going to be.
I do wonder if this stretch has changed how people feel about Maxey. I don't get the sense it does.
I don't think people ever change how they feel about Maxey.
But, like, I guess... What do you think people think about Maxey?
I think people think Maxey is a great young player.
You could argue he's a great young player, but it's just like this. I think this is his ceiling.
Right.
I think he's already reached his ceiling.
Right.
And that's what I don't like superstar. No. Like,
but there was hopes of that.
But I don't know if there.
But don't
was.
You think if you're an all-star, then like there's the hope should be superstar.
Drew was an all-star.
Drew Holiday.
Yeah. Iguodala was an all-star.
But Drew has also won a title. He's been
sure,
like,
I'm
a,
talking about like back in the day, Drew was an all-star caliber player, you
right.
know? And like, Conley's never even made an all-star team, and he's been one of the best point guards in the West for a long time.
Maxey's probably pretty cemented as like a top 30 player. I would agree with you on
but
that.
But he's in the 25 to 35 range.
Yes.
Good player, valuable player, but like to put the hopes in the
well,
franchise.
Well, all right, so let's remove that expectation. Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Can he be the second best player in a championship?
I think he has to be the third.
Okay, so then that's a problem.
But I think also you could also have gotten a little over your skis about Maxey.
I agree. This is all about expectations and like how you feel about him and what you think is a fair, you know, a fair ceiling for him. But I've said on this pod, and I can only have my opinion based off how I feel, that I thought they could be the best duo in the NBA. Obviously, that's not going to be the case.
Well, part of that is how good Embiid is.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And nothing has been more clear during this stretch than how good Joel Embiid is.
Yeah, agreed. Now, it's also, you know, infuriating that he's hurt again. It's not his fault. I understand that. But like, it's just I just feel like I'm in like one of those padded rooms with a straitjacket on, like hearing these updates. It's like, you know, Nurse, like, well, we're pretty sure we'll play in the playoffs, or Adrian Wojnarowski saying,
ooh,
you know, it's not a
hit the breaking news sounder.
Yeah, no,
wow.
It's not a matter of when, or it's not a matter of if, but when. Like,
mm-hmm.
There's 9 games left.
I know.
Like, you're telling me they have no idea? Like, they know. They know. They just won't tell us. And
I don't think they know.
Well, someone knows.
Joel knows.
Yeah, but then Joel should tell.
Well, maybe
that could be the name of the pod.
Title of the pod right there.
Joel should tell.
Joel should tell.
When are you back?
Cavs.
When are you back? Yeah, it's just, I don't, we know how much control he has over when he plays versus when he doesn't play. Yeah. And, like, is 5 games enough for him?
No.
How many games does he have to play for you? Well, by the way, like, that's why the 6th seed becomes even more important, is so he can have that little time off without having to play in the playing
game. It's like 4 or 5 days, I think.
I know.
And also, like, I'm almost more afraid of playing the Heat in the play-in than I am of playing the Cavs or the Knicks in a series.
Sure, yeah. 100%.
Like, I think they probably beat the Cavs or the Knicks.
I don't think they
Well,
beat
no, no, let me
They do not
back.
Beat the Knicks.
And they probably don't beat the Cavs, actually.
They could beat the Cavs.
It all just depends on what Embiid you get. Like,
of course.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think Embiid is waiting to come back, or do you think Embiid cannot come back?
I think he cannot come back yet.
That's what I think, yes. Right? Like, I don't think this is, he's like, well, I could play today if it was a playoff game. I think this is, he is unable to play yet.
Right. But you see, he's kicking the ball around on the court.
Oh, God.
He'll be ready to go in no time.
Right.
Ready to go in no time.
I forget who tweeted it, but there's a tweet of, like, him, the game was intense. It was the 4th quarter, and someone tweets a picture of him. It's like, you can tell Joel wants to go in. It's like, then go in.
Well, listen, he'll get there. One day at a time.
Yeah.
One day at a time, Joel will be in there.
Can I ask you a Nick Nurse question?
Sure.
Has he been a disappointment?
So, I think it's hard to tell. Like, without Embiid, it's hard to tell. That should not matter.
Right.
That
this
much.
Is ideally where you, I mean,
but
anyone can coach Embiid.
I really just think the roster stinks. Like, I think Morey has handed him a bunch of duds.
Yeah. Okay.
And I know he, like, with Toronto, I feel like he had more length and just better players. Mm-hmm. And if they lost a player like Embiid with Toronto, I think they would stay in it. But without Embiid, they're just not it.
Yeah, that's probably fair. I mean, they did a really good record with Embiid.
Of course.
Yeah.
So, like, I think with Embiid, you saw some difference-making things. You saw, like, getting the most out of other guys. But with him out there, like, and especially with the roster changes, like, I just don't know, like, who's he turning to?
It could have been Kyle Lowry.
Sure, but you're not relying on Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry is a ball handler, a smart, heady play. You're not relying on him for 15.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he's turning to Oubre. He's trying to, oh my God, Buddy Hield's making some shots tonight.
Right.
And
Batum actually looks like an NBA player again.
Did you like when, there's a point last night where Buddy couldn't get around Harden.
I know.
And I was like, this is an issue.
this is not.
Because he was looking spry there for
Harden
a minute.
Playing lockdown defense. Was it the player talking about that Harden, like, knocked the ball away?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that was bad.
Yeah. That was bad.
That was not good.
And it wasn't good. And it's okay. So Nick Nurse, when Embiid goes down and it's Maxey, his second best option after Maxey is Kelly Oubre, Tobias Harris, Buddy Hield.
The roster is really bad.
The roster is really bad.
Yeah,
the roster is really bad. It's just they're bad.
Yeah.
And it feels like Morey punted at the deadline.
Well, so that's the thing that aggravates me too. And I didn't expect him to come to the podium after the game last night. Although, with how heated he was, I thought you might get a little more. They just sometimes look like they have a defeatist attitude about them. Like, they know it's not happening for them. They know the objective is next offseason. And that's just, I think, how they look and act sometimes. Like, Nick Nurse comes to the podium and he's like, yeah, it was probably a foul, but, you know, we turned it over a few times. I know he has to say that. But it would have been nice to see a little, like, at least at the podium, a little more emotion. Like, take the fine there. Like, I still think yelling at the officials on the court was, like, not needed. You look out of control there. But on the podium, I think it would have been nice to see a little more, you know, not feeling like, oh, well, we lost another.
Like if Sirianni lost that game, he's coming off the court yelling into the crowd, like, bleep the refs, right?
Yeah, Sirianni is. The refs might be in some serious trouble. His
war on the refs is something.
Yeah,
something to behold.
It was. I think it was Ala last night on the broadcast was saying.
Oh, he was beside himself.
Yeah, he did not handle it well.
No.
But he's like, why are the refs still on the court? Why are the refs still on the court? Like, I don't really disagree. Like, why are you just standing there waiting? I guess maybe they were waiting to see if there would be some type
By the way, I don't know if I've ever seen so quickly after the game them come out with a ref report. Like, yeah, we screwed it up.
Yeah, like super. Yeah, it wasn't like the next day.
Also, what's the benefit of saying, yeah, we screwed it up?
I I don't know.
Like, just lie. Point.
Yeah, I agree.
Just lie. I agree. Like, it makes you look ridiculous.
Or just don't say anything.
Yeah. No, you just say anything.
Yeah.
Just don't say anything.
Yeah.
That's actually the funniest thing I've ever heard is just lie. Just lie to us, tell us you got it right.
Just say you got it right.
I actually would much rather.
But if they say
it would just infuriate people. People have been Twitter like, but you didn't get it wrong.
but then they move on in a day.
Why tell us we screwed it up with no reparations?
Like 30 seconds after the game.
Yeah, we got it right. You still lost. You cannot win the game.
You don't need accountability.
Well, here's a question. At what point, and I know it's overtaking your sport, baseball, so you'll have a take on this.
Which is overtaking it?
Like, at what point will gambling, like, force the leagues?
By the way, hold on.
Dude, I might need your opinion.
The NBA is actually, I mean, the Jonte.
Jonte Murray stuff.
It was the Jonte Murray. It was the funniest.
I saw the best tweet. About
how did he think he was gonna get? He bet $80,000 on his unders.
All unders though.
And then
all unders is tremendous.
Well, it's so funny. I saw a tweet. It was like the biggest indication something was going on was when someone bet the Porter under. Like who's betting on him?
I saw some tweet that was like when Vegas, because it was the most bet line that night. Someone was like, when Vegas saw the Jonte Porter.
Yeah, that was the most
Like, who is wrong? Why? How did you think you were gonna get away with that?
Well, this is another good example why they should.
Did you see
his
jumper?
No.
Never seen him play.
Oh, the free throw.
He made a three pointer. He banked in a three pointer, and he's like miserable coming down the court.
Oh, was he? That's funny. Yeah. This is another example why they should let players gamble.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Because they caught him. Everyone thinks like you're not gonna get caught. They caught him throwing.
You would bait a lot of players into doing exactly that.
But he got caught. Like, in his career is probably over.
You would bait a lot of players into a Calvin Ridley, Jonte Porter situation.
Do you know how much money people would lose if they know a player is betting on himself and like is taking himself out of a game?
Could you imagine if before
I was thinking about
this. Imagine if like before a series, like Jason Tatum bet on like the Knicks to lose the series and then he plays them the next round. Like, think of that content. That's rivalries right there.
Sure. It's also a disaster.
But so here's
illegal.
Well, in a world where it's illegal.
He wants to let
Yeah, I think players I think players should be allowed to gamble. Yes.
Yeah. Well, they are.
Just not on their own sport.
Yeah, I think they should be allowed to gamble on their own sport.
Right. Yeah. Which is where we draw the line.
Right. Which is where people get off that bus with me. Yeah. But what I was going to say was, so the refs come out after the game and they're like, we messed that up. Like, it was wrong. Lots of people lost money because of that mistake. Mm-hmm. Like, if you bet the Sixers money line, you know, now it's not a guarantee they would have won, but Kelly Oubre, in theory, you know,
got fouled.
Right. Now, I think the clock was pretty close to being out, but whatever. Like, in theory, he could have shot two free throws to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
At what point will gambling, like, force the NBA to do something about this? Because
do something about what?
Where it's like, you make, like, they said the call was wrong. Like, they could have gotten it right in that moment. Like, or the play that Nick Nurse couldn't review because it's a the Kawhi thing where the ball gets stuck in the rim, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a non-reviewable play. That cost people money too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wonder at what point the NBA is going to do something where if there is that type of call in the final seconds, like, they have someone look at it in that spot and correct it in that literal instance.
Yeah, maybe.
The books lose money off it too. Like, in this.
But at the same time, I think they also know, well, they'll gamble tomorrow night.
I agree. You know what I mean? People are not going to, but if they're going to be so in bed with the gambling like companies, right, that at a certain point, I wonder how much influence they'll have on making sure calls get right.
So you think FanDuel's going to be calling the NBA?
Yeah.
So the FanDuel sponsored review.
Or bet parks.
Or bet parks.
Yeah.
Right.
But here's another thing I was thinking. What if they just played without refs?
Well, how would that happen?
There's no fouls. Like, it's just like.
So what happens if a guy gets like clocked going to the rim?
Well, next time around.
Street justice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just throwing it out there.
Oh, okay.
Like, would you like that?
I want to do a segment where you write all these.
All your takes. Book.
Yeah.
I've actually thought about this. Is like an Elliott take.
Yeah.
Would football be better or worse without kickers? Like, no field goal attempts.
Right.
So it's only you have to go for on fourth down all the time.
Probably
have to go for two after.
Yeah.
After
probably this. Better.
I think it'd be better, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Screw the kickers, man.
Look, as someone that's won the media field goal competition twice, I think I'm qualified to speak on the importance of kicking to the game.
I agree. So the next thing we're looking for, obviously, is the Embiid updates, which you seem like you're not handling very well.
No, yeah. I can't. I can't take it. Like, he's so clearly not going to play soon. He's so clearly going to come back and not be good.
Do you think Embiid cares more about this playoff run or the Olympics?
The Olympics.
No question.
No question, right?
Yeah, and I'm fine with that. Well, no, let me rephrase that.
He better play in the playoffs.
Oh, I am okay. Look, I think.
No, hold don't on, hold say
on.
It.
I hold on. I think he will play the second he can play.
Sure.
Yeah. So,
but
if he,
you don't think he can sit the playoffs and then play the Olympics?
Yes, because the Olympics.
Why?
Because the Olympics is not after the playoffs. Like, it's not like the next day.
He cannot.
Why?
He cannot.
If he's not healthy.
Sit the playoffs.
So if he's,
when he can play.
Why?
And then go play in the Olympics.
No, I agree. If
he would lose so much here. They would have to trade him. They would have to trade him.
Okay. But
they
I
would have to trade
if
him.
If people are going
to
be irrational about it, then yes, I agree. But I'm saying, if he can't physically play in the playoffs, but a month later he can play in the Olympics, why
no,
should he
No, because
not
then
play?
No one's going to buy it. No one's going to buy it.
Well,
a month later,
but we're only working with the truth here. You're basically saying because of perception, he can't do it. You're saying the perception is so bad that he would have to like leave town.
It would be awful.
I agree.
If they have a chance.
But it doesn't mean he shouldn't do it. It's a chance to play in the Olympics.
He can play in the Olympics if he wants.
In 4 years, he probably won't.
No. He can come back and play in the playoffs, and then he can play the Olympics.
But what if he can't play in the playoffs?
He can play. Nick Nurse told me he's on the court. Yeah.
I think he's going to play in the playoffs. So
you don't think it would be a disaster if it comes out that he can play, and he says, no, I'm good, and then plays the Olympics in a month?
I agree. It'll be a PR disaster for sure. Yeah.
If you were Embiid, would you sit out of the playoffs? Let's say you're 85%. You're not 100%.
No, I think he'll play. For as frustrating as it's been and like critical of Embiid, like, I truly believe that if he could play, he would be playing. I don't think
you need to calm down. He's gonna be back in two games.
All right, let's look at the schedule. Let's take a little, should we make a bet on when he'll play?
Sure.
All right.
And it's not gonna affect the outcome of games.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so he's not gonna play against the Cavs. I think that's it.
That's Friday, right?
Yeah, that's Friday. Now, granted, there could be an injury update in like an hour and we'll look foolish, but I don't think he plays against the Cavs. So yeah, me. Well, do you think he's gonna play against Cavs?
I don't think he's gonna play.
All right, there you go. The Raptors on the road in Toronto Sunday.
No, absolutely not.
Don't think he's playing.
He's not coming. He's gonna come back April 2nd.
I think that's
the
one. That's the if he doesn't play April 2nd, I think they're in real trouble.
Sure.
Because then they have April 2nd would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games before the end of the season. If he misses that one, the next one's the Heat, and then they go on the road for Memphis and San Antonio. I don't know why, but I don't think he'll come back on the road.
No, there's no shot.
Which is crazy because like there's no real reason for that.
Yeah, but no, I don't like that.
Like it's like an hour flight.
You come back at the home court.
I agree.
It means more.
It means more at the center. It means more to the basketball mecca.
You're starting to get it.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you were on the Nova court. How'd that feel?
It was good. Yeah. I finally.
Were you there?
Well, I was not there.
Wow.
I could tell the winning culture and ambiance.
Were you on a Caribbean cruise again? Or?
Yeah. Were you accidentally in the same place?
sore subject there.
Yeah.
I could tell like the winning culture came over you. Jack
sure did.
Bridge.
What'd you hit?
8-10 from the line. Best free throw shooting school in the country. 3 years running, by the way. Villanova.
Really?
That's so Nova.
That's so Nova.
Are you upset?
I can't think of a more Nova stat than best free throw shooting school in the country.
The little things matter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, come on, you can tell they practice those free throws.
Oh,
yeah,
No, the Pavilion's cool. It's way too small.
They shoot them the right
way.
It's way too small.
I agree. Yeah.
How many fans are going there?
6,000.
Oh, wow. That is... Union have more than that.
He talks about it
so pompously. He knows he gets under my skin.
Temple has a real
Mr. Temple.
So the one takeaway I always have when I drive through Nova is like I cannot believe they won two titles. Like it's so small. It's
wild. Yeah,
that campus when they won those two titles, dude, was insane.
I know.
You would have thought you were at Arizona State.
Well, the new definitely not even close to Arizona State.
It's such a random school to pick.
Well, it's like a party school.
Oh yeah, yeah, true. Okay,
but
I think Nova's probably a good party school.
No, yeah. It's Villanova.
No fun. Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
No, absolutely
not. As a Temple kid, I would think you'd
be all
over
that. There's no downtown.
Partying at Temple is a different like.
That's what I'm saying. I would expect you to be like, no, Nova's not a party school.
Like Penn State's a good party school.
Yeah, but I think Penn State's basically Nova.
What are you talking about? Have you ever been to Penn State?
Penn State. Yeah.
State College is huge.
I know
it is. There's a downtown.
What basically
right, but at the
about
core,
Nova is Penn State?
I don't know. I always picture it as the same level of party school. I don't know what else to say. I guess I'm wrong.
You grew up here, right?
Yeah.
I think it has a reputation.
I didn't know Nova had a reputation.
No, but I actually admire his ability to confidently shoot in the dark.
Sure.
There's
no one better.
Let a shot go and be like, that's going to hit.
Yeah. There's my style.
I admire that.
There's no downtown.
But I did not know that Nova was thought as not a party.
It's called Villanova.
I've never heard that. I'm not kidding.
Okay.
You don't think I'd bring that up if I had heard that?
No,
you definitely would.
All right, what's a better party school, Villanova or Westchester?
Westchester. No question.
I view this as similar, but maybe I'm.
Well, Westchester and Nova, I guess. But the difference is there's the town of Westchester.
There's a town. The town separates everything.
Right.
There's no town. With no, it's just there. It's just
I've only ever been on Nova's campus once. And
exactly.
15 years ago.
So like, I'm always surprised that they have to. Like, that little area
right.
is.
They don't even have room for the banners in the fin. Banners got to go to the Wells Fargo Center.
Yeah,
we can't have Nova banners.
We can't. Yeah, can't do
they
that.
They play that twice a year.
So if they redo the South Philly complex, you think they'll make Nova play in the new little like 5,000
yes.
person?
Yeah. I actually thought when they're building, I was like, that's for Nova's.
That should be
that's,
Nova.
That's
yeah.
for Nova when they come to yeah. Philly.
Whatever happened to that little gaming arena that was supposed to happen for the Philadelphia Fusion?
I don't remember that.
Oh, I do remember that. When the esports,
esports,
they're gonna get their arena.
They were
supposed to.
And that I don't know. Esports are dead, right?
Esports. 500 during people? The pandemic, esports looked like it was gonna be the next big thing, and then the
right,
world
then people
were
allowed
up.
To leave. Yeah. again.
Dude, then the world opened back though.
Like I could not be happier that esports have failed. I would. yeah. Like I can't take the streaming stuff. I can't. You watch guys play.
So,
people.
Well,
play
streaming
games.
Didn't fail. Just the streaming of video games failed.
So you'll appreciate this. So the esports for Premier League soccer is like a massive deal. And so they'll tweet out like, you know, Tottenham 1, like Arsenal 0. I'm like, they're not even playing. And they tweet, it's the video game.
Yeah, it's six kids sitting around computer. Did 2K, the NBA sponsors the official.
No,
I'm pretty sure the NBA sponsors like the official 2K league. And I'm pretty sure the Sixers 2K team is like the best one.
Dude, they had a draft. I saw a clip where the kid like put a hat on.
Yeah, they're like champions like 3 years running. We need them on the pod.
To be fair, they probably make more money than any of us could ever
combined.
I was going to say.
Might need them on the pod. Might know how to run a team.
When I was younger and I had NBA 2K with Iverson, this was probably a little before you guys.
2K, well, 2K1, 2K2, 2K3.
Yeah.
I'm the best 2K player.
I'm 26. 28. Okay. Nice. Yeah. But I feel like 2K was, you were probably like, what, 7?
I was.
I guess I could do the math. But, I used to like more just like simulating through and playing GM than I did actually playing the game.
I always loved being the GM.
Yeah, I just would simulate the game, make trades, like go to the off season.
All the GM decisions got simmed, and I just
Get
me on the court, dude. Oh,
you're a real hooper.
Yeah, tell me who loves the game in this. yeah.
You know my problem was
spreadsheet nerds versus
yeah, exactly. My problem was so I would play games like this is like Madden or whatever, and I would always pick the quarterback of the Eagles. And if I played bad, I would always just think in my head, like, WIP's going to crush me tomorrow.
Wow.
Look at you. I know.
Lost art in these story modes would be you having to face Hugh Douglas the next day.
How far away do you think we are from being in Madden? As being like...
Not far.
Let me walk you through this.
Okay.
So Madden does it where if you're playing as the Eagles, they have audio of like, let's say Merrill and Mike. Right? Or like they do the local radio broadcast for all the teams. How far do you think we are away from them doing that and then using our voices?
Do they actually do that?
No, I don't play Madden. But I don't think they use
not.
I think we would know if they use WIP.
They don't do like the local, but like
they do announcers. Like and they have like
the in arena, like Matty Cord's in 2K.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Stuff like that. So I don't think you're that far.
Wow, could you be an NCAA? Or you're not the never mind. You're not the arena person. You're Okay.
Yeah, way to make that hurt. But
like, I think your job's more important.
I don't
to be
think
honest.
You're that far. Like if you went into like a story mode and you picked the Eagles, and you had to go on like I don't think you're that far.
Yeah, well, like during the week, like the players driving and listening. Yeah.
I don't think you're like trash.
Yeah.
10 years, you might get called up to record.
I think it could happen.
I think it was in
maybe for basketball.
I think it was Madden.
Basketball guys.
We'll be there. I think it was Madden 05 or Madden 06. Like Tony Bruno was like hosting a radio show on Madden. It was about the player.
Sound like it's that far off.
We might be in Madden.
Yeah,
picture
you in the Citizens Bank Park in the little booth.
Oh,
simulated
man.
Jack.
It's going to be beautiful.
You and James.
I do think they should
shake
the
whole thing shaking.
Agent Brown interview. That's like a historical moment.
Yeah. I wish it never happened. Anyway. move. Final couple things here.
All right.
What do you make of Harden not talking to Embiid?
I think it reflects poorly on both of them.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Like, well, it makes.
Were you friends or were you not friends?
Well, he did get him a Rolex. So
yeah.
I thought they were close. I thought they were tight.
I think Harden was correct when he said fans don't know why they're booing.
Why?
Because fans are wrong. Like, Maury screwed Harden over. So they're booing him because he forced a trade, but because of something Morey did. If you want to say you're booing him for game 6 and 7, fine. But then, like, boo Embiid too. You know, like, so he, it's not similar to Ben Simmons in that way.
I agree. I just think people don't like Harden at all.
Yeah, agreed. Like, so, and I understand, like, look, as a fan, it's fun to boo. Like, I get all those things. But Harden is correct when he's like, why are they booing me? Well, it wasn't his fault he's gone. He would have rather been here.
Yeah. And I think Sixers fans would have been way more upset that he's here.
If you could go back, would you, like, not do the trade?
I would still do the trade.
Okay.
Yes. But my thing with Embiid on
215.
My thing with Embiid on this is he has – I know him and Maxey are close. But, like, let's say they get a Paul George. Someone this offseason. He has to be a relationship guy.
Yeah.
It can't just be
– Which is why he should go to the Olympics.
I agree. Yeah. I want him to play in the Olympics. I would not be able to handle not playing in the playoffs and then showing up in the Olympics.
Well, get ready.
Better not happen. It better not happen.
No, I think he will play.
But, like when you're talking about having to recruit players and having to be – he like being the heel, being the villain, like that stuff was early career stuff.
Yeah.
Like I know Harden might not be the best teammate, but, like, a lot of teammates
Yeah, I think Harden actually is a great teammate. I think he's probably a lot of fun. Yeah,
take him out.
Exactly.
They have it done.
Yeah.
But, like, and this is another thing with Embiid. Like, you have to be better at relationships.
So here's a, like, very real example. The target that they seem to be looking for in free agency is Paul George, right?
Right.
Paul George currently plays with James Harden. What do you think James says about Embiid?
Probably.
You know, like, they're not super close anymore. Like, maybe he feels Joel sided with Man. Like, who knows how he feels, right? Like, they're not, and it wasn't like.
Do you think the Sixers are being used with Paul George?
Yes, for sure.
I still think he's coming.
I think he might come if the Clippers don't pay him. But I think his preference is to re-sign in L.A.
Probably. He's an L.A. guy.
So in that way, I think, like, they're being used. But I think he could for sure absolutely end up on the team.
I know. He'd just be sweet, man. I know he's 35. I get it. His jumper.
It's going to go so bad if he comes here.
It's not going to be that bad.
He's old. He's going to get hurt. Like,
he hasn't been hurt for the last couple of years.
Wait till he puts that Sixers uniform on.
Wait till he puts it on, yeah, baby.
Wait till he's in the Northeast with the cold. That body's not going to recover the way.
It's just like having to watch Toby and then looking at Paul George just shoot it and, like, shoot pretty well.
I mean, yeah, Paul George is better than Toby.
I know, but, like, he's taking Toby's spot. Like, imagine that being Paul Jordan.
When he played, they'd be better. I 100% agree on that. But 4 years at a max
deal.
Don't
care. Dude, who cares? What else is they going to do?
Blow it up. I don't know.
What else are they going to do?
All right. So I had two more actual points.
Okay.
Okay.
I have one more actual point.
One, I do think another disappointing part of Nick Nurse has been, like, the way he's handled Paul Reed. Like, they gave him that contract. He doesn't really play a ton. They don't really play Ricky Council.
Well, our good friend Spike Eskin told me. He's like, Paul Reed's coming off the bench because that's going to be his role.
Yeah, right. It's going to be his role.
When Embiid gets back.
Yeah, well, then you obviously don't think he's that good.
Of course not.
You're not even willing to pretend he's a starter. It's like, just so you know, you are firmly a backup. Like,
and Mo Bamba stinks.
Yes. So I don't like that. I don't like the Ricky Council thing.
Keep forgetting Ricky Council's here.
Yeah, remember that moment? That was fun. Now it's like, does he even exist?
I felt something when exactly.
I heard he requested to go back down to.
He wants to go play with Turk, his friend. Actually have a good time. Think the Sixers are a good vibe team?
No.
Okay, me neither. Cut that chapter.
The realist Bob, baby.
Are the Sixers a good vibes team? No.
Absolutely not. What a crazy question. Yeah.
All right, last question I have.
Is there a more positive Sixers podcast out there than this one? We really, you know.
I don't think any pod laughs more than this, though.
No, I agree.
A little more pain, but.
I agree.
All right, what would you put the over-under on games Embiid plays the rest of the season? So not the regular
games
season.
Left.
Yeah, but I'm like everything.
Oh, with everything?
So you're basically projecting how far they go to. I'll set the number. You tell me if you disagree with it.
Okay.
7.5.
Over.
Over?
I'm going 9.
Okay, all right. So you think how many in the regular season?
I think he plays 7 games in the regular season.
7 of the next 9?
Yeah.
So you think he's back versus OKC?
I think he's
OKC.
Back the OKC game.
Okay. And then he plays every game the rest of the way.
Well, I think they play the play-in. I think they win the play-in.
Okay. So now you're at 8.
Okay. And then I think they play, you know, they go 5-6 games against.
If they win the play-in, he'll probably be. I think when he plays versus OKC, if he plays there, he will not play every single reg. Like, he will sit games.
Wouldn't it just be a beautiful, full circle moment? Embiid made his debut against the Thunder, and then he saves the Sixers season against the Thunder. It sounds like beautiful synergy to me.
Here's an old clap your hands debate that we had pre you. No offense.
Was not aware there
but
was.
But James, you're willing to, you are obviously more than welcome to chime in on this.
Yeah, okay, I'll be honest.
So Kyle Newbeck said that he would not trade Joel for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
I cannot believe this came all the way back around.
Wow. Where would you fall on that? I think it's very apparent.
To be fair, Elliot brought this up at the beginning of last season.
Well, because he's like,
I'm a forward thinker.
He loves.
So
Fritz.
The fact that you were able to connect this nearly 2 years later is very impressive.
Thank you.
On your part.
Well, I think about it quite a bit.
Very impressive.
Every time I see
it. It's a slower no right now, but it's probably.
Oh, you wouldn't do it? I would absolutely do it. He's a younger. He's not hurt. He's a more important position. He has the number one seed in the West.
Yeah,
Embiid's body is like
they're not the number one.
Whatever.
Your boy.
And that's my point. Do you
the Nuggets are the one seed again?
Nuggets are the one seed.
Wow, that's disappointing.
Do you believe in the Thunder as a one seed more than a healthy Sixers team as the three seed? Because I don't. Because I still think the Thunder as a one seed.
But the
can
Sixers,
get taken out
the Sixers somebody. Are not a three seed.
If they were healthy all season, they
I'm
would.
Saying right now.
I don't know. I'm still not.
All right, second one. Or would you go ahead?
I was gonna wonder how much it's gonna hurt. When Jokic is going to win his third MVP and second finals.
It's going to hurt. It's definitely going to hurt.
Good.
It's gonna you might have to come off some takes.
I just want you to appreciate a beautiful basketball player.
Oh,
that's what he is.
God. You're going to have to come off some takes.
I just like, I can't.
You're going to have to face the music.
Yeah. They're not going to win this. I mean, they might.
They are.
I will say.
Yeah,
dude, there's really no one standing in their way.
I'll say
right
this.
Now.
They're taking advantage of a down period in the NBA.
They are.
Yeah.
100%.
Okay. All right.
One of us has a... one of us has two futures in the West that are looking all right.
How about your Pacers?
Did you take a Pacers one out?
I cashed out.
Yeah.
And then I lost it on a bet.
What was the reason you did it? I forget because who got hurt?
Benedict Mathurin.
Yeah.
Dude, that's the X Factor.
I'm not. It's just funny. Yeah. All right.
Well, because they don't have enough at that point. You start breaking down Pacers?
No, I don't.
Okay.
All right. The second debate we had is I said I would trade the Sixers' whole roster for the Rockets' whole roster.
But like,
have you guys seen what Jalen Green is doing?
Without
Fred VanVleet?
Season,
yeah.
At the beginning of last
season. What have the Sixers won since the beginning of that?
This is pre-Fred VanVleet.
Yeah.
This is pre-Ascension of Alperen Sengun. This
yeah.
is pre
I can't help.
Alperen is a goat.
Well, but to be fair, my whole argument was they have all that cap space. And you know I said that.
Yeah, he did.
But plus a better coach. They didn't have Ime at that
you
point.
You
said
they this because of...
Cap space, resources, and young players.
Yeah.
And look at Jalen Green.
Jalen Green's good now.
He's taking a step forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
I'm over. Listen.
Yeah, blow it up.
What a team. What a podcast. You're 76ers.
You know, it'd be funny. I guess I could say this on the pod. Well, I'll hold it.
Okay.
Yeah.
My final point here is do you forget that D'Anthony Melton and Robert Covington exist?
Definitely Covington.
No, definitely.
I saw Melton on the bench last night.
I forgot D'Anthony Melton was on this team a long time ago.
Yeah.
There's just no, Dude, Nick Nurse said yesterday about Melton, basically he's not even close.
Yeah.
Forget about him.
It's like, what the hell?
Did he say at one point there's no light at the end of the tunnel or something like that?
Dude, I think Nick Nurse is furious.
I think he's checked out.
I think he's
100%
checked
out. He's so sad at how this is going.
Yeah, 100%.
He should come on the pod.
It's the point that I made before we came on of he wasn't prepared to be the Sixers head coach. Like all the context that comes around being this team's head coach, he was not ready for it. No one told him about it.
Can you imagine him as the Eagles head coach?
Well, wouldn't handle it well.
No.
What do you think is harder to deal with, being the Sixers head coach for the last 10
still,
years or being the Eagles head coach?
It's
the Eagles. I think
even
with all the stuff that happens that out of your control with the Sixers,
yeah,
I'm talking about burner
is,
accounts, I'm talking about the process, I'm talking about all that.
But the difference is, deep down, no one really cares about the Sixers.
Yeah.
Whereas
well,
the Eagles, they care, but it's just different.
They eat, sleep, and breathe. With
right, whereas the Eagles, Sirianni not being in the photo is
you've made that a big deal. I think people...
Oh, I got asked about it on every hit I did on WWE.
Well, because I thought it was a funny take.
Yeah, it was.
I think... The difference is that no one checks out of the Eagles right
now. Yeah, exactly.
Checked out.
Right. Besides us.
I do think you're a huge catalyst for a lot of fires for the Eagles.
You should follow me on Twitter.
I do follow.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. Oh, yeah.
That's good. All right. Well, listen, another inspiring podcast.
That's good.
Wait till Embiid's back April 2nd.
Emergency pod.
April 2nd.
April 2nd.
Against the Thunder.
Calendar.
Calling it.
Never a doubt.
By the way, go ahead.
That's fine.
Tickets are $30. I was thinking about buying some.
For Embiid's return?
Yeah, and then because they'll go up if he comes back.
Sell
it's
it
like
high? You're going to sell high or you're going to go to the game?
I'll probably go.
All right.
Although I have a press pass, so I guess I could just
go. Oh, look at you.
But I'll be with the people.
Listen, go Phils, right?
That's right.
Happy opening
New
day.
New season starts tomorrow.
Happy opening day, Jack.
Yeah, happy opening. Happy opening. Glad if they played in a dome, they'd be playing today. Okay.
Well, no one likes domes besides you, so.
Big fan of domes.
You are a big fan of big watching fan of sports domes, yeah. In domes. Until next time, for Elliot Sher Parks, for Coors Light, and for Jack Fritz, and James Jackson.
And come hang with us next week.
Come hang with us next week.
Yeah. For the Heat game. It's a big one.
Oh, yeah. Embiid will
Embiid
play.
Embiid will be back, right?
Well, how much you want to bet Embiid's playing at our next event against the Heat?
I'll make you a deal. If Embiid's playing in that game against the Heat, I will buy Here's you on dinner. Elliot. I'll buy you dinner that night. Yeah.
That sounds like a
salmon
deal.
Salmon grilled cheese on Elliot.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. Lobster grilled cheese.
Lobster grilled cheese. That's what it is.
All right. Till next time, this has been another edition of Clap Your Hands.